Live, local, FM talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
It's live and local with John and Jay on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk. We have got some tickets to give away real quick. Well, actually, throughout the morning. In fact, if you would like to go and see Bob Zaney, comedian at the Carson Nugget, he is going to be live there tonight at 7:30. You must go to that show tonight if you want to win those tickets. Go ahead right now and give us a call, 775-884-8000. It's a different number than if you're going to call us to talk on the show. It's 775-884-8000 to win a pair of tickets to Bob Zaney. If you want to win, just call right now. We've got quite a few pairs of tickets to give away. John?
In the studio, Danny and Amy Tarkanian. Danny, of course, the Douglas County Commissioner. Amy getting grief from some Republicans because she is endorsing two Democrats for the upcoming November election. Not because they're great people, but because, in Amy's view, the Republican candidates in this office are out there.
Just that bad.
Okay, so we heard about the Attorney General candidate. Let's hear about the Treasurer candidate your issue with them.
So the State Treasurer's office, I believe, should be nonpartisan to begin with. Mm-hmm. And Zach Conine has been doing an excellent job. You can talk to any business person. You can talk to any lobbyist. Anybody who actually has to encounter with him, they will tell you he is doing a tremendous job. So why replace him just because he has a D behind his name? I think that's idiotic, because our Republican nominee, who is Michelle Fiore, she's still under FBI investigation for campaign finance problems, violations. And so not only that, but she has also had physical encounters where in City Hall, in Las Vegas City Hall, she attacked City Councilwoman Victoria Seaman to the point where she had to have surgery on one of her hands. What?
Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria did. So, you know, she's also somebody who behind the scenes tried to work to get her recalled. She's very vindictive. She's another person that is unhinged, just like Seagal. And Seagal was also a part of that movement to try to find somebody to either, you know, run against Victoria or to get her recalled while she was her planning commissioner, if you can believe that. So, you know, I've got a problem with these two.
The chairman of the Douglas County Republican Central Committee says what you did violates their bylaws and says they plan to recommend you be removed from the committee. What do you say to that?
I don't even think I'm part of the committee, which is hilarious. The last time I was involved was when Danny was running for Congress, and they needed people, they needed bodies to fill the seats to go down to the State Central Committee meeting in Las Vegas, because not everybody can make that trek. So I went, and I didn't even stay for the whole thing. And my whole point was to call out the state party and the lies that they were telling about certain candidates and how they were handling the endorsement process. And then I left that meeting. That was it.
Well, here's what the chairman wrote.
You are welcome.
Is that what he sounds like?
You are welcome to submit your resignation to me in writing should you desire to bring this process to an immediate conclusion.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. You know what? And quite honestly, who are they to tell me how to think and who to vote for? That is not the Republican Party that I grew up in. And I think that free speech, you know, it's important. And I think the fact that I am more concerned about Nevada not being embarrassed because I love this state, I think I'm on the right side. And you don't have to agree with me.
All right. I promised Danny that at 10:10, he would have his... Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Amy.
You cut me off. I want to talk about the Treasurer's race real quick.
Okay, go. No, whatever you want.
First
for 5 minutes.
First of all, my wife was kind to Michelle Fiore. Michelle Fiore is just a very, very bad person, and she's been that way in a number of ways. Personal experiences I've had with her, but she's also had all kinds of other financial issues. She had a bunch of liens put on her businesses for failing to pay the taxes, and she was forced to close down. There are questions about some grants she had, and she's under FBI investigation because of the campaign finance laws, and she's running for a position that deals with money and the state government. So she's obviously in the wrong position.
Do you think that Zach Conine, though, is the better person for that?
I don't know Zach personally, but I will tell you, he came to Douglas County and twice spoke to the commission about the money that the government was giving the state and how he wanted input from people and how to allocate it. I thought he did a great job. I told him afterwards, I said, I was very impressed the way you handled that. And I'm very impressed with him for what I've seen from two meetings. But that's not the point. I mean, just because he's a Democrat, and if you don't agree with them, if you have somebody who's so far out there, like our attorney general candidate and our treasurer candidate, then why would you want to vote for them? You know what happens if you do that? You vote for these people. They get into the runner general election. Say they get, God forbid, they get elected. And then they embarrass the Republican Party. And then Republicans run in the future get wiped out because of the actions of, the, of these people that were unfit for office.
Yeah.
And I really believe that's the case. And I would never vote for Aaron Ford, but I would, I'm going to vote for Zach. I haven't come out and endorsed him. He asked me to. I didn't think it was my position, but I don't, Michelle Fiore is not the right person to run for office. But let me give you why we got in this position. This is what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican State Party has been a mess since Michael McDonald took office in 2012. He's had the worst performance. The Republican Party's had the worst performance in every single election except 2014. That since Mike McDonald's been in office. 2014, the only major race was the governor's race, and the Democrat nominee had lost to none of the above. So obviously we should do good. Why are we doing so poorly? Because Mike's a very divisive person. He doesn't raise any money to help the party except from out-of-state money. He turns people off. So this is what's happened behind the scenes.
Would you call him a fake Republican?
No. Mike's a strong Republican.
Okay.
He could have conservative values.
Right.
But he's a divisive person, and he's destroyed the Republican Party from within. And I'm going to give you an example of how this has all happened. He doesn't do things outwardly. He has other people do things, and they support him. He has a following out there. Jim DeGrafferty, who was used to be the chair of the Douglas County Party, a really bad person also, he'll put his life on the line for Mike McDonald. But let me give you, this is important for the listeners. This is what's happened to the Republican Party. And for all of you that care about the Republican Party, you need to understand this. When Mike McDonald took office, he was like the Russian czars and the communist people. He purged people that didn't support him. And if anybody didn't support him, he went after them. So in the 2020 elections, the county chair here in Washoe County and the county chair in Clark County, the two biggest counties, they weren't happy with the divisiveness of what McDonald was doing and the losses the Republican Party took. So they tried to get somebody to run against him and beat him. Well, Mike won the state party race. So in return, he ran people to beat those two, which is fine. But what he did was when he beat those two people, he put in his loyalists. And you know what they did? They purged the party of upwards to 100 people that were strong activists and loyalists, people that have supported Donald Trump in 2016, worked on my campaigns, worked on every Republican's campaign, was working on Sam Brown's campaign. He eliminated them from the party. And he said, hey, they're bad people, so it can't be a party. You know why they're bad people? Right. They didn't agree with them.
This sounds a lot like the local Democrat Party went through the same thing, and the progressives took over. You know what my rule is? I would never vote for Aaron Ford for one reason. He's Southern Nevadan. You don't vote for Southern Nevadans in Northern Nevada.
Well,
it used to be. I mean, Bill Raggio.
Yeah, I'm really sorry you felt that way because I ran this last race. And the big ad they ran against me was I was Vegas Danny. That was the worst thing they said.
No, you have roots. You have roots here. Let's look at Sisolak versus Laxalt. Sisolak is pure Southern Nevada with his cronies and everything, and people in Northern Nevada voted for a Southern Nevada candidate for governor.
Isn't Seagal Southern Nevada?
Yeah,
she is.
Yeah, okay.
Seagal,
all right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, still, we're really two states. Their interests down south are totally different from our interests up here.
Right, but you don't have Northern Nevadans right here, and I understand.
Okay, but the newcomers who move here don't get that, you see.
The people from Northern Nevada vote geography first, people second. In Southern Nevada, they go the opposite. And I learned that the hard way with Mark Amaday. I don't want to get into that. But the difference between what's happened with the Democrat surge and the Republican surge is when Mike McDonald took office, I wanted to get to this, he went and actively campaigned, pressured, and built up these candidates that have won now. Marchant, who we haven't talked about, but Seagal and Fiore. So he wanted these people in there because they're loyalists and they're really bad candidates. And that's the problem we have here. If they ran on their own, neither one of them would have won. But they had the support of the Republican Party, Mike McDonald, and those loyalists. So now we're stuck with really bad candidates. And my wife, at least, has had the courage to come out and speak her piece.
Well, what do you expect to happen in November? What races do you see coming down red and which ones
blue? The Republicans should have a year like 2014. They should wipe the Democrats off across the board. First of all, the voter registration has been shifting back to the Republicans. Since Mike McDonald's took office, it went from an equal split state to the Democrats having a 3 to 5% advantage. Now it's creeping back down to 2%. Then you show the motivation by the Republican parties across the country. Then you show the dislike of what's happening with President Biden and the Democrat Party and that wave. We should win back the Assembly. We should win back the Senate. We should win every constitutional office. I will tell you, though, I doubt that will happen because the Republican Party's in disarray. People don't know it because they don't know what's happening behind the scenes. But when you try to say you're going to throw Amy Tarkanian, who's the top political commentator in Nevada, Republican commentator in Nevada, out of the Republican Party, you're losing people that you need. You know, she speaks on behalf of Republicans nationally for the people of Nevada, but because she doesn't support two crazy people running for office, they want to throw her out of the party. That's the problem we have.
Well, it's just the Douglas County Republican Committee.
Oh, no. Mike McDonald has said the same thing.
Oh, has he?
He said she was a failed chair that was only looking to get on TV.
That's nice, because she is kind of the voice of Nevada Republicans. I see her on Fox and Newsmax. And
she strongly defends the Republican Party, the conservative principles, the America First principles. And just because she doesn't agree with these two. And again, these two people wouldn't have been elected if it wasn't for the state party of Mike McDonald.
Wow. Well, there you go. At least we got both sides of the story, kind of like Phil Collins says. It's been a good time here talking with Danny and Amy Tarkanian here. And Danny, you know, we want to make sure we keep you coming on and talking to us about what's going on, especially coming closer to these elections.
I would love to. I think one is I have a lot of insight in what's going on behind the scenes that maybe you don't know. And second thing, I speak my mind. It's probably hurt me a lot in campaigns. I speak what I believe. I was always taught to be a fighter and stand up what you believe in. And you know what? That turns some people off. This is turning some people off. I don't agree with my wife and Aaron Ford. Okay. I've said that I would never vote for Aaron Ford, but I respect the fact that she's standing up and fighting back. I think I can give a lot to this program by giving you some insight of what's happening behind the scenes.
Your wife is spunky.
She's a spitfire, man. That's awesome.
You should feel the punches she can throw.
Oh, my. Wow.
She is in good shape. I'll tell you.
Right. Well, I'll tell you right now, it's been a good time. Thank you, Danny. Awesome. Pleasure meeting you, sir.
Appreciate it.
And we will definitely have you guys back on. But coming up next, we have got the beautiful Elm Estates. Lance, the son of the owner, is going to be in here to tell us all about this beautiful venue here on East 2nd Street in Reno. Stick around. It's next right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, Radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith & Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's your good friends on Saturday morning, John Potter with Jay Biggs, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Jay?
Good morning, everyone. 775-884-9910 is our phone number if you would like to give us some calls and if you have questions or comments or anything to give to our guests. We are live in the studio right now, and we have got in with us Lance. Lance, what is your last name?
Galgon.
All right. I want to make sure I said it right.
No, it's all good. You don't really like it. That's usual mispronunciation. It's all good, though.
All right. Well, you are the son of the owner of the Elm Estates, which means you're the guy who's going to inherit the Elm Estates eventually.
Oh, yes.
And, man, you've got the most beautiful piece of property probably in all of Reno.
Thank you, man. It means the world to hear that.
This
seriously.
Is the old Chisholm house.
Yes. Built in 1880. It used to be about 115 acres worth of a dairy farm out that way.
The Chisholm house. Why did you change the name?
You know what? It was, there's been such a great history with the Chisholms, and we have such a good relationship with them still. They come by the property all the time, checking on out.
It was their house.
I mean, it's literally, as they're walking through, they're like, oh yeah, this is my bedroom here and all that. And this is what happened in this corner of the property. And, you know what? It was really such a new chapter for the property and just the area around. We really wanted to make sure we made an impact with that while still holding on to some of the traditions and the beauty of the property, but it's really a new chapter for the whole.
This is place. A wedding venue.
Yes. Wedding venue. We do everything, though. Weddings, corporate events.
In other words, to guys, we're having an open bar.
Oh, yes.
And a wedding, too.
Well, you know what? For the guys, man, they have got a really cool billiards room.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
play pool, watch the game, you know, the whole nine yards while the ladies are getting ready.
It's really super. It's posh. That's probably the best word to put it. It's like country posh.
That's good. You make the choice easy, because let me tell you, picking a wedding venue, that's harder than picking a spouse.
Oh, I have learned. I have learned over the last couple years.
The happiest moment in our wedding was realizing that planning the wedding was over, and I screamed when I was asked, which floral pattern do you like? I want that to be over.
Yeah, and that, I can't even tell you how many times I've overheard our conversations with our coordinators and whatnot of just, you know, how specifically really this industry can be. I mean, as a dude just kind of walking into this whole industry, it was really just something. And I come from a performance background. I come from music and entertainment and perform and any kind of performance like that. So seeing how much detail goes into just putting a wedding together with this amount of quality to it, it blew my mind when I first walked on and
well,
really,
you know,
started getting into it.
Lance, getting stressed rhymes with wedding dress.
Yeah.
Getting stressed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're talking about weddings, but let's put light to what else goes on there, because it's not just weddings. Just for instance, on Thursday, you guys had me over there for country night.
Oh my gosh, it was great. So it was like a Western themed night where we just opened up the bar to the public and we were teaching line dancing and we had
line dancing.
Wow. Oh yeah. No, I definitely got like to dance every once in a while. It rhymes with my name, so I got to make sure I can dance and throw a couple moves around a little bit.
You have these open house nights where it's like open to the public. And what is this wine and whiskey night?
That's essentially our open nights. We do it every Wednesday.
I didn't know
about
that.
Yeah. So it's something we've been trying out, especially after going out of COVID, right? One thing I think everyone was missing is that sense of community. Everyone coming together and really just celebrating we're not no man is an island kind of a deal. We're social creatures in that. So getting everybody together, let's get the bar opened up. Let's get people knowing about the Alma State. One comment we've always gotten is that we're kind of this diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, I didn't realize it was over here. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that comment.
Well, you're between an RV park and a train track.
Yeah.
You know, but man.
But man, what a diamond that shines in between those two spots,
it's
right?
It's pretty much where 2nd Street, West 2nd ends and Dickerson begins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Beautiful
right around the curve.
Grounds.
Yeah. We really have painstakingly taken every detail that we can to just enhance the property and really bring such
and
a good light
to
it.
Cottages there.
Ooh.
Do you
small
host
homes?
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask, do you host the wedding nights? The overnights with the bride and groom?
Absolutely. So our idea in that was, originally we had the house opened up as like a Airbnb or like a bed and breakfast. So we found that with a historic home like that, we wanted to preserve it as much as we could. It was a very costly renovation and whatnot. We wanted to preserve that. So we're thinking, okay, how else can we host all these families coming on in out of town? It's the destination wedding spot. Why not cottages?
Right.
Why not we throw some accommodations on property where you can have grandma and grandpa staying there. They have the wedding there on the property. They have so much fun. They walk across the lawn after the party's done, go to bed. You don't have to worry about them getting in a cab, getting lost in an Uber, getting back to the casino.
My gosh.
And it's, we've named all the cottages after our gemstones. It's
yes.
Kind of a theme that we have. So if the Alma State is this diamond, we've named all these other cottages around the diamond.
Like the ruby, the amethyst.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff
yep,
like that.
Onyx, sunstone.
But hosting the wedding night on the grounds for the bride and groom, is that cottage soundproofed?
Oh, dear God.
You know, there's a couple of isolated ones. So they want a little more intimacy.
Yeah. If you want the intimacy, you don't want to stay in the main house because you guys actually have a ghost.
Oh, yes, we do. We've affectionately named her Stella. And, we've thought about having ghost tours or something like that, but, she's a friendly ghost.
What's your evidence of this?
It is just the amount of doors opening and closing with nobody else inside.
Hot water being turned on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got that. So I'll tell a little backstory. Lance, your girlfriend, right?
Yes.
She gave me the tour
of
the property.
Bridget.
And yes, Bridget. And man, I mean, just to know about this place is so freaking cool because, just to touch on Stella, apparently when you guys bought the property or something like, or when you started renovating it, you found an urn there, right?
Yeah,
it
was
the name Stella.
We've asked all members of the family, who's Stella? Is there Stella in the family? They go, no Stella.
And she said she thought it was a family dog or
maybe
something.
It could be. You know what? Maybe that's why that's such a friendly vibe. And just, there's always a tradition whenever we walk in and open up the property, just we make sure to say hi and good night to Stella when we leave and all that.
And
you know.
People have said they encountered some.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Really? Even folks that originally stayed inside the house have recorded stories of just there was footsteps going up and down the stairs. No one else was in the house, and I
strongly encourage people to go and just take a tour of this place, because I mean, just the old history of the building, especially the diamond,
yep,
like you're talking about. I mean, that has I want to say half the house is original, right?
No, it's there's an 1880s portion of it, which is more on the east side of the house,
okay,
and then there was an addition that was added on in the 40s.
Oh, okay.
And that was the tandem, the garage that you saw over on the that we turned into the billiards room.
The little archway that goes into.
Yeah, and you'll see like an archway in there where like you can see where the old window used to be, and we have a section of the house where the original exterior brick is visible, and you can touch it, and it's just such a cool texture detail.
That's in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, it's right there in the kitchen, the kind of dining area.
Speaking of the kitchen,
Jay was all over snooping around that house.
The kitchen was really cool because they have this granite countertop that lights up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have LEDs inside of it. Yeah, it kind of glows at night.
Really, and then cool. You have to go back to your little apartment. That is rough.
Yeah. It is rough, man. Well, you know what, though? I lived in Urington, and I lived in a very small house there. So being up in Reno and coming up to checking that stuff out, man, believe me, my apartment feels big.
Mm-hmm.
But that is one of the cool things. I was talking to your girlfriend. She actually lived in Urington, too.
Yes, she did.
And we have a huge listening audience down, and we're the only station, 92.3, in the Urington area.
Well, Urington, thank you for listening. I appreciate
it. Yes, yes. And if you're thinking of a good wedding venue, it's not that far of a jog up from Smith & Mason Valley to come and check out the Alma States. I think you should definitely do it, for sure.
Did you build an add-on to it? Did it go right from being the Chisholm's house to the bed and breakfast, and then you?
So essentially it was, we bought the property from the Chisholm's, I believe, in 2015, my memory serves. And then we took about 3 years to totally go through the house, top to bottom, and restore it as best we could and add on all the things we wanted to, plus adding on the additional event center. It's known as the Marquee Room officially, but that's our event center that can house up to 300 folks seated on the inside. Oh. That's where our really nice Elm Bar is. And we really have such a great mixology team on property as well that's trained in-house to make all the custom cocktails, and they meet with the bride and the groom, and we even have a whole meeting just with tastings of what their palate is and what drinks they want on their wedding night.
I read that. That's part of the wedding planning, where the bartender will ask, what is your specific drink that you would, your special cocktail?
Yep.
And they concoct that for you that day. And I got to mention, 4.5 stars on Google.
Ooh. Yeah.
4.5 out of 5 stars with, 100 reviews. That's I've never seen that.
We really take pride in that, and just making sure that we accommodate the guests in every possible way that we can.
I bet you have stories, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did you ever have some couple do something totally crazy like Jay? Jay would probably have Batman leading the ceremony.
I haven't had any stormtroopers on property, if that's what you're asking. But I have had, there was a couple who had a marching band start right after they finished up their ceremony. There was a marching band that had dance choreography all set. So they were playing and dancing for about 2 hours after the ceremony ended. And this was a very full wedding. This was about 330 guests or so.
Wow.
It was insane, just the amount of performance that was added on into that.
Any costumes from the bride or groom?
Her wedding dress was very, it almost looked like a mermaid, like a Little Mermaid kind of outfit, where it was so like rainbow colored and whatnot. And she had kind of like these like boa frills in her hair. It was
sounds
very
like
bombastic.
A New Orleans.
It was very almost like Mardi Gras without the beads and everything and the floats and everything like that. But, I think we're having a wedding this year where they're going for from what I understand, the bride's wearing a black wedding dress, right? And she's going for a very almost like macabre kind of a
oh
deal going on.
Lord, it's, never,
so we go, we have such a wide range.
We're going to have like decorated bats and.
I'm not sure if we're going to a total Halloween story.
The
whatnot,
black dress, that's kind of.
That's going to be very cool. Yeah.
I don't know. Grandma won't like that.
Well, maybe she's not a virgin, John. She can't wear the white dress.
All right, let me ask you this, Lance. How many bridezillas so far?
Oh gosh. Every one of them, I'm sure.
You know what? In my experience, and of course, to be kind to every client that we've had, a lot of times I find it is, sometimes it's the bride, sometimes it's the parents, and it's sometimes it's just very little detail things here and there. But you know what? Our team is so, the amount of patience that we have for everyone that comes on property, it's one of the things we really have to instill is just, hey, we don't know the background of these people coming on in. We want to make sure that we can accommodate them the best we can. For an example, what was it? Last year when we had all those fires in Tahoe, right? Horrible going on. There was a lot of venues that had to cancel last minute because they didn't know if their venue was going to be even still standing. There was a couple of clients that we had come from Tahoe last minute, let's say within a week, that their wedding was going to be going on. And when we got a notice from them saying, oh, my God, we're trying to find a venue. Can you help us? We did our best to accommodate as many of those guests as possible. And there was a beautiful ceremony where there was a grand piano that was delivered onto property, and it was set on the grass in front of the house on the east side there. Sun was just coming down. And we got this together in like 4 days.
Wow.
Them coming from one venue to us, getting all their vendors on property. It was really a meeting of the minds, as it were.
All right. Well, before you go, talk about that open house night thing.
So Wine and Whiskey Wednesdays.
When you're open, where people can just go in and check out the house like
Go ahead. I mean, Wine and Whiskey Wednesdays, usually it's from 5 to 8, happy hours from 5 to 6. Okay. Open bar. The grounds are open. We usually have vendors, food trucks, always something special going on. Check out our website. Check out our Instagram at the Elm Estate for any sort of updates, or if we have a private event taken up on that Wednesday. We always have something going on. So even just come on by, check it on out.
Awesome.
Cool, Lance.
All right. Thank you, Lance,
Thank
for
you,
coming
gentlemen.
In. It's the Elm Estates. Make sure you go and check them out, all those spots. Hey, if you want to go and see Bob Zaney tonight, he is live. He's a comedian at the Carson Nugget. He was there last night. He's going to be there again tonight. If you would like to go and see him, we have some tickets to give away, but you just got to call and ask for him. It's that simple. 775-884-8000. It's a different number than the one we're asking you to call for questions and comments. So it's 775-884-8000 if you want to go and see comedian Bob Zaney tonight at the Carson Nugget. Lance, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And we are going to be back live next with St. John Smith. It's the 30 for 30 challenge right here on Live and Local with John and Jay.
Younger, smarter, better. FM Talk, KKFT, FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk, KKFT.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Look at it out there. It is gorgeous. Finally, blue skies.
Got my car washed.
Yes, we are local. I'm John Potter. He's Jay Biggs. Hey, Jay.
Hey, everyone. It's 775-884-9910. If you got any questions or comments for our guests here on Live and Local with John and Jay, also make sure you find us on Facebook. You can send us messages on there. We would love to hear from you. Don't forget, we're also giving away those tickets to Bob Zaney, the comedian at the Carson Nugget tonight. If you want to go and see him, make sure you call this number, 775-884-8000, and just say, I want to go and see Bob. That's all you need to do. All right, we are live in studio right now with St. John Smith. St. John Smith, thank you for coming on in this morning, brother. And you are doing the 30 for 30 for 30 challenge. Is this right?
It's close. It's called the 30 on 30 for 30 challenge.
30 now, on 30 on 30.
Jay,
okay,
knows, Jay knows all about you because he's an MMA geek. Oh, my gosh.
Not only is he that, I mean...
He
was my fight announcer.
Crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I announced your first fight, right?
Not my first fight, but you announced the last few of
your title
amateur.
Win, I definitely
you announced
did.
My title fight.
Hold on. I'm going to say this. I took a hit. We had Rick Call up on. Everybody knows Rick. We had him on a few weeks ago. When you won the belt at GSR, I took a hit square in the head from Rick Collup, who was so excited about you winning that fight. He jumped up and goes, bam, and just hit me right in the head. And I'm like sitting there with a headache the rest of the show going, oh, I don't think, but I can say I took a hit from Rick Collup and survived.
You are such a fanboy to St. John.
He's a cool dude.
I should tell folks, he is a licensed professional MMA fighter. You are the Fight of the Year award winner, a two-time amateur MMA lightweight champion. You're a certified personal trainer. Are you still doing the MMA fights?
As for competing, I'm not currently. I've had a long-lasting ankle injury for 2.5 years now that just will not heal. I do have aspirations to compete again.
Yeah.
I train as much as I possibly can with what my ankle can tolerate, but I'm fighting in other ways. I'm currently fighting for nature,
and that's what
we're here to talk about.
Did you leave the fight scene undefeated?
Currently, yes. I'm 10-0 between my amateur and professional career.
Leaving on top. Wow.
Right.
But I hope not to finish.
I hope
I'm not done.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you got to hope to eventually get back in there. But, yes. I mean, just one bad heel hook and it could be over for you, though, I'm sure, right now.
Yes, I also have two torn ACLs that I've recovered from. So.
My gosh. Okay.
So the 30 for 30, is that the regenerative boxing thing?
That is not. Regenerative boxing is a completely separate program that my brother and I developed.
But,
the 30 on 30 for 30 is a challenge that came up with earlier this year. This year, I'm turning 30 in September. And the previous 4 years, this will be my fifth year now, I've dedicated my birthdays to some form of community service. And what I was thinking to myself was, how can I do something crazy this year on my 30th birthday? So a little bit of history. Last year, actually a year ago from this month, I performed 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats every day for 30 days. It was 31 days, actually. But in March of this year, I thought to myself, what if I could do that in 24 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And then on my 30th birthday, create a fundraiser for the nonprofit that me and my brothers are
working
on.
Run through that routine again. okay. So you do what? How much of what?
So I've called it the Mini Murph Challenge.
Yeah.
Last year. I was doing, since I'm unable still currently to run, I can modify these Murphs. A regular Murph is a mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and then finished with another mile one run, and then all while wearing a 20-pound weight vest.
How many hours does that take you?
Well, I've never actually done a complete Murph because I only found out about the Murph back in 2020. That was still when my ankle was injured. But I can do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, no problem, under 20 minutes.
This guy's 100% healthier than me. Oh, man. That is a lot. So I got to ask you this, though. I mean, that is rigorous. So are you doing like a diet right now? Like, you're getting in shape for this, obviously. I mean, is there something you're going to treat yourself with, I basically, is what I'm going to ask you, once you're done with it?
Or what's the diet to have to do that?
It's all a on the job learning process. But I do have a lot of experience in nutrition, especially from my fighting career, but it's just enhanced and I've gained more knowledge over the years. I'm currently on a very heavily animal-based diet, nose-to-tail animal foods that support local farms as much as possible and promote
that. No plant-based?
No
estrogen?
I went down that road 2 years.
So what exactly is your diet? It's animal meats and what else?
Fruit, honey, dairy, and the occasional burritos.
What's breakfast?
This morning I had some raw liver from bison, Miller Bison, so I'm ready to go.
He saw a bison on the side of the road and he pulled over and he ate it.
Raw liver for breakfast.
Yes,
oh my
and
God.
Then I had some golden potatoes that are, you know, organically grown and from the Great Basin Co-op. And then I had chicken. And I'm
for
here.
Lunch, you're talking.
That's all for breakfast.
Oh, that was breakfast.
That was breakfast.
Dude, this guy is currently eating. You're so disciplined. I mean, you're making me jealous. Hans, I wish
maybe
I had
hopefully.
I would not,
Sinjan, I would not get out of bed if I had to face raw liver. I'm sorry.
Hey, don't hate it till you try it, my friend.
you dealt with Channel 2 every morning.
Yeah.
Raw liver.
Man, I definitely learned a way to make it taste a lot better.
Oh, I'm sure you absolutely had to.
Well, how do you make it taste better?
Well, this is the Liver King way. I add maple syrup, olive oil, and some salt to 3 ounces of liver, and then stir it up, chug it.
Wow.
It's like liver shots. We do it all up in the house.
What, do you blend it?
No, just stir it in a glass, and then I shoot it.
Now, wait a minute.
Is this something Rick taught you, or is this something you learned on your own?
No, I went down a vegan journey for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And nonstop, no cheating, nothing. I mean, but my body began to fail.
But Sinjan, really, the liver has to be what? Liver powder, right?
If you this is raw liver from bison.
Hey,
you said you chug it down, right?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is I put it in a glass, I add those ingredients, and then I gulp it and I chew it like a wild animal, and then just...
You are a wild animal.
Yeah, get it down. It's not, you know, you get used to it.
Well, I mean, if you are what you eat, then you can literally say that line, hey, what am I, chopped liver? Anyways.
Literally.
Well, let's talk to as well. We have a Walker in here. Walker, good morning as well. A Walker is actually the executive director and founder of Green Vibe World, which is your non-for-profit that you're trying to bring awareness with this 30 thing that you're doing here on your 30th birthday. So, Walker, you know, good morning and welcome to the show. Tell
Thank
us
you.
A little bit about a Green Vibe and what inspired you to be involved.
Yeah, so Green Vibe is primarily an environmental education and action nonprofit that operates here in Reno. So I actually went to school up at UNR, got my degree in environmental science. I've always been very into the outdoors, wanted to really just make a difference. And I moved up to Oregon for about 4 years after I graduated college. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out how I can make the biggest impact in the environment, you know? That was kind of my...
Local environment, right?
Well, I was up in Oregon at the time. Mm-hmm. I was thinking more big picture, I guess.
Right. Okay.
So I was just... I'm really passionate about it, trying to make it part of my life mission, I guess.
We wanted to go and clean up downtown? You know what I mean? Yeah. I was down. That's the only reason I asked that. But yeah, so you really wanted to make an impact on the environment, obviously, right? And so when you said you wanted to do it on a bigger scale, you said, okay, now I need to start somewhere, obviously, right? And that's what started Green Vibe, and more on a local basis, I guess, is what you're saying?
Well, actually, when I started it, I was living in a small town in coastal Oregon, and I came up with the realization that the most potential for tangible change is creating awareness on a widespread personal level.
Okay.
So I decided to incorporate a nonprofit that was originally an environmental education website.
All right.
So just trying to get free environmental education out to the public and present it in a very kind of like fun or a way that really like tugs people in the heartstrings, gets people interested, isn't boring. Like a lot of just like textbooks can be, or
right.
What it might be.
Yes. Yes. We need somebody to tug the heartstrings on this issue, because I grew up watching the TV commercial with a crying Indian, and that touched a lot of people. It was a very successful campaign.
Probably
way before your time.
Now.
Yeah.
Right. So was there an issue or something that you saw growing up or maybe early adulthood that you were like, okay, this is motivating right here. This makes me want to get involved in cleaning up the environment. Did you see a big pile of trash somewhere and were just like, man, that could be easily cleaned up? Or, you know, I mean, what made you get involved?
I mean, yeah, that was a big part of it. Of course, just my love for nature and being outdoors was kind of like my foundation in this. But then just going down to the river and seeing trash that's around Reno when I was growing up. And it really made an impact when I took my first environmental science class in high school at Reno High. Mm-hmm. And I took a class and I was just, my eyes were kind of opened up to the impact that humans are having on our environment and all of the other life that lives here with us on this planet. And it was completely tragic to me. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of really, it really opened up this path to where I am now, I guess.
All right. Good for you. Hang in there, guys. We're going to talk to you. But we also have El Adobe Mexican restaurant coming up, and Bob Zaney, our comic. We got to take a break, don't we, Jay?
Yeah, we probably should. So just stick around here. If you have any...
Boss will get mad if you don't break.
No, it's okay. We did the boss, Henry, was just here.
He wants a commercial.
That's right. Absolutely. So we're going to come right back here with Walker and St. John next. So stick around. It's Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Hey, where's the beat?
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk 99.1.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3, 99.1 FM Talk. Our number here, 775-884-9910. We are live in the studio right now with Walker and St. John of Green Vibe.
Yes, right. John Potter and Jay Biggs with Walker. We were just talking about our local environment. You know what I see on the ground a lot right now, and maybe our newest problem with littering? Masks. I see them constantly on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they got there. If people are just, I'm going in the building so I can take, or going out the building, I can just throw this somewhere. Now you're focusing with this cleanup at the Truckee River on the, 21st?
Yes, the 21st of August.
Why did you pick that area, and what do you see at the river now? What brought this on?
Yeah, well, we picked that area because it's pretty highly polluted as we speak.
A lot of it is homeless. I mean, if we don't fix the homeless problem at the river, it's always going to be there. But it's a great,
That's
great
true.
Thing that we're going to clean it up, because somebody has to, right?
Yeah, so a lot of this trash is from previous houseless encampments, and it's on a floodplain. So when the water rises in the Truckee, it pretty much gets a lot of this trash and starts washing it downstream into downstream communities and eventually Pyramid Lake, which doesn't really have an outlet, which is a problem. You know, we need to take care of this this waterway. It's our only waterway that we have in our community, so it's pretty important.
I've seen some, and I bike that all the time. I've seen a couple of homeless just take their trash and just dump it in the river. Mm-hmm. And we need some more enforcement there in some way, because I think of it all going straight to Pyramid, and you know, the tribes and everything have got to be very upset about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have worked pretty closely with some of the tribes, and I know the city of Reno is working on some more enforcement down there, but you are absolutely right. It's a complicated issue, and we just really hope to be part of the solution.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because we don't have much time left, about a minute. Tell people where they can get a hold of you and find out about Green Vibe or what you're doing. Sinjin?
Absolutely. We are all over social media, big on Instagram at Green Vibe World. You can find us on our website and what we're currently doing, up-to-date events on greenvibe.world. And then you can learn more about the 30-30-30 Challenge, which is also on our Instagram and Facebook pages, and our website, which is greenvibe.world/30-30-30. We do have this community cleanup coming up. We are in need of 100 to 200 volunteers on August 21st. It's going to be starting around 9 a.m., finishing around 12 p.m. We believe that we can get it done in that amount of time.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Thank you, Walker Sauls and Sinjin Smith, for coming on in.
Thanks for the raw liver recipe.
All right. We're going to be live back here on John and Jay, live and local with El Adobe Cafe.